Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For
God's
sake!
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome back to Guth and Hupke on Politics. It has been a minute. Rex, I don't know if you know, but people on Twitter, all nine of our listeners, they have missed us. We've been away for like 3 weeks.
They were in an uproar, it seemed. An absolute
uproar. Two people, I would say, were in a, seriously, where are you?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't like anybody to be unhappy, but I was personally delighted because
I know
it was nice to be missed.
The demand is high.
It's...
Two to three entire tweets about our well-being and whereabouts.
I think that...
demand is high.
It's viral. Demand. I think that counts as viral, right?
We can basically say we are internet sensations at this
pretty
point.
Pretty much. Exactly. We have done blown up.
Oh, yeah. I think fame is clear for us.
Yes.
With the nine people that listen to us.
Exactly.
Good times. So, yes, I was away, then Rex was away, and now we are both here.
Yes. And better than ever.
Better than ever. You are very tan.
Thanks.
And smiley. So you did something fun. You were chilling.
Yeah, reasonably fun anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was in the sun some. And it
good
was
for
good.
You.
Yes.
The sun is good. Said plants. Well, so in the 3 weeks that we've been away, there's been some things. I'm trying to even think what was happening where we left off.
Well, you know what's amazing to me, actually, is that... It's less than 3 weeks, but on October, I believe it was October 1st, was the Las Vegas shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And not really hearing a lot about that anymore already, which is just absolutely stunning to me.
You know, I've got a theory. It is not an original theory, but it is one that I think is worth thinking about with Vegas. Because of the sense that I think, that even the Vegas Tourism Bureau cultivates of what happens here stays here. It is about hedonism here.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sodom and Gomorrah here, you know. I think because of that sense that you can come here and get away with things you can't get away with in your own town.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, there was a very small narrative that emerged and... that was really like, this is not going to be perhaps grieved as deeply in a widespread way as if it would have happened in, say, like, you know, Kansas, because there is already an agreement that, like, there's an air about Vegas that, like, you've come here to do something very hedonistic, as opposed to, like, I was at Bible camp in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm,
like,
right.
there's a different kind of grief, like, it becomes a hierarchy of who's worth grieving for,
uh-huh.
and which is not right, which is crazy.
Sure.
There's millions of reasons to set foot in Las Vegas. And even if you are there for hedonism, doesn't mean your life is less valuable.
Of course.
Indeed. Yeah. But I think that contributes to it, that there's something about, like even there's jokes about this Vegas strong term, that Vegas strong doesn't feel the same as Boston strong.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, it's, you imagine if this had happened in another big, you know, in a big city somewhere, you just feel like, God, it feels fast. I mean, it just feels, you know, I mean, we're used to the idea ever since Sandy Hook. I think we've all almost got to the point where it's like, well, nothing's going to change this in terms of our mindset on guns and, how, you know, where everybody's already kind of made up their minds and there's not much changing going on. But man, I mean, just to see that happen and to see those lives gone that quick and then to see the talk of those lives and of that incident and of what we're going to do, not just gun control, like what mental health, I mean, anything, name it, what can we do? The just all those questions seem to have vanished. And I agree with what you're saying. I think that's interesting. I think the other contributing factor here is probably that Trump, because he has a tendency to take a sledgehammer to every news story.
Everything.
I mean, it just, like, everything fades after, like, 24 hours because he comes along and just drops another rhetorical bomb.
Well, it's like trying to have a conversation when there's like a toddler trying to get your attention. You're like trying to speak to another adult and a toddler keeps running in the room going, look what I can do. Look what I can do. Look, watch. Watch my really loud toy.
That is like, an amazing.
It's exactly
that is
what it is.
So spot on. It's ridiculous.
We're trying to have a conversation about gun control and lives lost and all of these things. And like, in comes a toddler. Look at me. I can throw paper towels. Yeah. Look what I can do. Look, 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 look.
I'm an airplane. I'm an airplane.
I'm like, yeah, it's that.
Yeah, you're right. Holy crap.
And when you go, you know what? We'll talk about this in a minute. I have to attend to this petulant child in my living room.
Yeah,
this is
exactly
what's happening.
It's a toddler, only one that nobody really loves that much.
And certainly not a cute one.
It's a toddler we'd like to put up for adoption immediately.
No. Like, put that toddler in exile. Did you see the thing about, not Melania, the other one? The other one of the women around
Ivanka.
Trump. Ivanka. Talking about how she had a punk
face. Oh, God, that was brilliant. I like, you know, stuff like that. It's just like a, it's like lobbing a little softball out for people on Twitter to just knock around. Because, I mean, that was
like, why would you even do that?
People are like, yeah, she listened, accidentally heard a Blink 182 song for 10 seconds or something like that.
I know. There was like, there's, due to the magic of Facebook and just keeping in touch with people, I was fairly goth in high school. Mm-hmm. And
goth gooth.
I was totally goth gooth. And then, you know, I keep in touch with, there was a, like a little, you know, a little group I had, a little group of friends. I went to a pretty small school, but nonetheless, we, you know, I was friends with lots of different kinds of people, but like my little core group of other goth kids were, some of us are still in touch, and immediately we were on a text thread about that, like, oh, she's got nothing. I still have this collar I wore, and I was manic, panic, deadly, nightshade. She ain't punk. Like, immediately we all jumped on that.
I listened to Bauhaus, and I still got a pack of clove cigarettes from back then.
Right, totally. I tied a velvet choker around my neck and smoked all these clove cigarettes and wore my Doc Martens and wore black lipstick and all things that are true. And like cornstarch powder for the face instead of makeup,
because
you'd look paler and deader then.
There you go.
And black eyeliner for lipstick, because you'd look paler and deader then.
That's the way to go.
Oh, my God.
Big old army boot.
The goth time. Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
And like my friend, she had these cool knee-high combat boots, and then she like had a chain that she wrapped around the ankle. It was like the exterior anklet, but it was big, big chain.
Nice.
Like Jacob Marley shit, like around one of her combat boots. And she was like, oh, Ivanka Trump, you bring it. I will go toe-to-toe with you any day with your punk phase.
So your punk phase.
I think that enraged a lot of ex-goth girls.
Yeah, of course.
We were all like, no, girl.
Never happened. I don't know what your PR people are trying to release, but that was not the right move.
I have a feeling all PR people connected, excuse me, anywhere to any of the Trumps are probably just like, I'm just going to sit here and collect my paycheck.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I have the worst job on earth.
I'm going to play words with friends and just chill and just like message people and look at some memes. I literally can't.
Watch my soul slowly depart my body.
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah, it's horrible. Just real quick on that same sort of thread, though, there's been a thing I just started noticing on Twitter today with people, and it may have just, I'm sure it just started with one person, but posting photos of Ivanka, posting pictures Melania, and Melania with Donald Trump, and she's always wearing these giant sunglasses that cover like a big portion of her face, and so they're posting pictures of Melania with the sunglasses on with Trump next to a picture of Melania without sunglasses by herself, and questioning whether the Melania appearing with Trump is actually Melania. So it's like Melania truthers, and it's very funny because I don't really think there is very the evidence is questionable, but it's just amusing because people are like, look at the you can tell by that nose is not the same nose. This is definitely a different person with. So they think there's Melania impersonators that are going out with Trump because she apparently, you know, won't be seen with him or something like
if
that.
If you were Melania Trump, wouldn't you hire people
I absolutely
to stand
would.
In?
Yes, I would have a stunt hopkey.
I would consider flinging myself off of a building to avoid being anywhere near him.
Yeah, exactly. But
I wouldn't have signed up for that role in the first place.
No.
However,
there she is.
Here we are. And there she is. So let's talk about the Me Too hashtag.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's complicated. right? For five little letters, it's a complicated thing.
Yeah.
I think it's anytime there's, you know, women saying, look, knock it off, no more. This happened to me too. I think any of those kind of phrases are powerful in any setting. Me too. Oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. I'm not alone in that. Like, any of those are powerful. Friendships are built on that. When you're like, oh my gosh, you hate that person too? I hate that person. Let's be friends. Or yeah. You love that? I love that. Let's right. be friends. Anytime you find that, I mean, that
shared
that
experience of any
shared part. Experience yeah. counts big. And when the stakes are this high for sexual assault, it's really big. Where I'm not, I mean, there's a lot to it, right? There's the like, well, where was this outcry for other women? There, you know, why is it taking Rose McGowan to trigger this? And why are we here? And, one I think is being talked about not as much. I've seen it, but not as much as I wish that it was being talked about. Is there's sort of a secondary or a tertiary, if that, conversation about the obligation to share that I think is important to note. That, like, I have not participated in that. I could, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. And then there's the hierarchy of what that means. I think we've touched on this a little bit before, but like one time I was getting off the train and a guy grabbed my ass cheek in a very personal way, like the most personal way you could.
Okay.
We're not talking about cupping an ass cheek. Yeah. We're talking about like a very personal reach.
Right.
And I turned around and socked him in the chest, yeah. right? And I told my friend about it later, and I was like, this creep like grabbed, like picked my wedgie for me. I was so pissed. Like, this guy grabbed me. And then he was like deeply in on the train and gone, you know? And so I couldn't even catch him. And like, mm-hmm. that was it. I hit him and he kept going. So, But there's been like, I couldn't isolate it to one single incident
yeah.
of creeps being creeps to me. And so, like when I told my friend that, she was like, oh my gosh, you've been sexually assaulted. I was like, well, technically okay. But I think like, I don't know. I don't know. That's complicated, right? Because you don't want to say, for the longest time, sexual assault meant only rape.
Right.
And I don't want to say that getting my ass grabbed and getting assaulted, like sexually assaulted, getting raped are the same thing. They're not.
Sure.
They're both a violation. They're both about control and power, mm-hmm. but they're not the same thing. And that's where it gets very complicated for me. Also, I think the like obligation to share is a tricky one.
Definitely.
Like yeah. I haven't participated because I don't want to.
Yeah, right.
I don't feel like it. Yeah. I don't want to go there. I know my life, and I don't feel like I need to catalog it all. Mm. Some things are private.
Sure.
And so a couple of people have said something specifically to me, like, why aren't you participating in that? Like, because I don't want to. Well, why aren't you standing up for women? I was like, I stand for women every motherfucking day.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Anytime that a thing like this comes into existence, as much of a positive force as it may be, and often is, yeah, you're right. It develops it spins into some form of bad
yeah.
things. I mean, and I think that I mean some of that is probably human nature. I mean,
sure.
I mean, you could say, you know, any kind of charity drive or something could almost invariably there's going to be some sort of issue that rubs people the wrong way. I mean, stuff.
Well,
just
like people were pissed about the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, like there was
exactly.
all kind of dumb stuff
yeah.
like that.
So I understand that.
What do you think about the men participating in Me Too?
In terms of men who have been sexually harassed.
Well, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen men, men participating in the Me Too by saying, "Here is me being sexually harassed." Here's one saying, "I'm standing for women."
Mm-hmm.
I have very mixed feelings on that. Mostly bad ones.
This is what I think, and I actually just wrote a column this morning about that, more or less about that anyway. And what I saw a lot of on Twitter was there was a response to the Me Too campaign from men saying, I hear you, hashtag mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah.
And that,
that's fine.
It's fine, but I didn't like – the reason I didn't like it was because, sorry, fellow dudes, but that ain't good enough because this – not the.
Well,
it's too easy to. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's beyond just not good enough. It's this. it's fine in theory, but mm-hmm. the problem is it's still about who makes the allowance.
Yeah.
It's saying like, okay, I hear you. It's still a power dynamic mm-hmm. of we need to gut check and get the approval of men.
Right.
And who can frankly go jump in the lake right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the point I tried to make in the column was that men are very bad, I think, by and large.
Yes. There's more. Okay. Sorry. Sorry.
And this has been the Goose Man-Hating Hour with Rex.
Nah, y'all are fine.
No, I...
I've been telling you, there's a short list of like 8 of you that I will allow to live after the revolution. You remain on the list. It's fine.
Woohoo. There are, and I understand that, and it's justified, I'd say. But and honestly, right now, if you look at any guy who, if you look at what's happening just sort of broadly in America right now, and you don't see that it's predominantly the fault of men, then you know, shut up. You're being an ignoramus. So.
Let's keep talking about how women are over emotional you know, hysterical things. Please, let's keep talking about that.
Yeah, but the men are, by and large, not all, of course, everything is with broad brushes here, but men, I think, tend to be very bad at self-reflection, and especially bad at, if there's a problem, asking what I think is a reasonable question, which is, am I somehow contributing to this? Am I part of it? Is there something I'm doing that is also hurting or causing problems? And so what I tried to say is, fine, you know, send your tweets and show support, and that's all fine, whatever, but it's time for men to do some serious self-examination, and that's not, and that's something that doesn't get done in a way where there is a public expression, where there's a, like, a tangible thing that people can look at and say, oh, what a good man he is, he's expressing his support, or he's doing this hashtag, or whatever. This is purely internal. And ask yourself, no matter who you are and how good you think you are, and say, okay, have I laughed off other guys making comments that even just dance along the fringes of being inappropriate mm-hmm. and, you know, sexual harassment-y and whatever? Have I seen things go on and ignored them? Have I, you know, all these things. And have I done something that I shouldn't have done that could be taken one way or the other?
Yeah.
You have to really sit back and have the humility to look at that and then say, okay, that is not happening again. I am not, you know, next time I'm standing up and saying, hey, dude, shut the fuck up. That's inappropriate. Because basically what I'm trying to say is that men as a gender have done an absolutely horrendous job of policing their own gender and that gender's behavior. The thing that bugs me the most is the men who like have seen all of the Me Too stories and everything and said, "Wow, I can't believe there's that much." And I'm like, "Have you
really?
Have you met us?
Right.
Like, like, come on, dude! Right. Like, seriously! Like, you have to know that this is going on, and it's going on because men are allowing other men to do it, and mm-hmm. you know what I mean. And it's so I'm talking purely inside like the male world or whatever, but that sort of gender specific conversation. But anyway, that's my point, is that I, you know, hooray for the hashtag, the Me Too hashtag, I think demonstrates the really powerful impact that social media can have when it comes to something like this, and it can give you sort of this overwhelming view of something. The I hear you to me is a look, ooh, look at me, bonk, you know, it's a one-off.
Look at me being woke.
Yeah,
no.
Right, exactly,
no.
Exactly.
No.
And that's not good. I was like, man, if you actually give a shit about all this stuff, like you say you do, men,
live
then
your life in accordance with it, and
right.
live in a way that you make space and stop just saying, I'm going to use my male privilege to help you ladies out. Stop. Just do it.
Right. Exactly.
Because here's the thing. You can talk all day long. It matters what you do.
Yeah.
It matters what you do. And it doesn't matter. It does not matter whether or not you say that you do it.
Yeah.
It just matters. Did I help this person in every way that I could today?
Right.
And so you said men are bad at self-reflection. I would say, I think some men are socialized to be bad at self-reflection.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say men are inherently bad at it.
Yeah.
I think men are fully emotional beings and creatures, just mm-hmm. like women.
Yeah.
Women just have the great privilege of being able to express emotion in a lot different way. Men get penalized for doing so. And
totally.
I think it's deeply it's painful to me when I see men really trying to say something emotional and really struggling with it, because I think for women it's so much easier.
Yeah.
Like we tend to, like, you know, it's not a big deal to, like, put our hand on our friend's elbow or something. It's not weird to tell our friends we love them or to hug them. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, and I think so many men are socialized to not be as expressive emotionally.
Yeah, totally.
I think the real test of being a male ally is not what you say. I actually, frankly, don't care what you tell me you're going to do. I care what you do.
Right.
And the real test to me is, what do you do when it's only you and another man in the room and he says something inappropriate?
Yeah.
I have heard twice in my life, I have overheard a man reprimand another man for something inappropriate. Both times, it was like within earshot, mm-hmm. but not, you know, I wasn't eavesdropping, but it wasn't meant for my ears, but I nonetheless heard it. And both conversations were almost identical. And they were both like, I'm going to change names here because I'm just going to pick a name, but like, yeah. it's not really this name.
Lex Lupke.
So look here, Rex. It was like, hey, you know, Fred, look, you know, I know you said a thing to Mary, but like, just, she was all bent out of shape about it. So be cool. It wasn't what you did was wrong. It was that, you know, she freaked out. So just be cool around the office. All right, buddy. Thanks. It wasn't you did something wrong. It's that she reacted. And both conversations, two totally different companies, totally different men each time. And both times that was the gist of the conversation. It was like, bitches, am I right?
Yeah, that's not, I was going to say, wacky. That's really not doing what I'm saying that they need to do by any
right,
means.
Right, and I'm saying that, like, that's a, if you are a supervisor, you are in a special position to make a difference. Yeah. And again, I don't care. I literally do not care what you say you are going to do. I am so fed up with men professing to be allies and not doing anything.
Right.
You can say you're going to be an ally all day long and you can still, like, look at me like a flipping taco on the street. You know what I mean? Like, don't look at me like an object or like, you know, when they look at us like we're plates of food. It's disgusting. I hate it. Okay. Maybe. Okay. I should have said burger or something. Whatever. It's something else. Like, what food is not sexual? I don't know. But like, nonetheless, like, I'm so sick of hearing one thing and seeing another.
Yeah.
So if you are a male supervisor, you are in a special position to make a difference. And so until you check yourself the way you reprimand other men, and then when a woman comes to you with a complaint, the, are you sure you're really going to like make a lot of waves? You're really going to, you might really ruin his career. He's got kids. I have heard that said to my face many times.
Ugh, that's ridiculous.
Many times. Because you're like, yo, this is inappropriate, what so-and-so just said to me. And then it's like, there's a ramification. Like, let me go on this tangent, too, because there's a lot of, well, why aren't more women reporting it? Why are women being so weak and backing down when, you know, they're asked to report it? Here's why. Because all your coworkers think you're a rotten bitch after you report something. Women, too. It's like, she made a lot of waves, or the death by a thousand cuts gets so much worse suddenly.
Yeah.
Suddenly, like, it's illegal to punish you for doing that, but it doesn't mean you won't be. I can almost guarantee you will be punished for reporting some sexual harassment. I can almost guarantee it. I have been in those very shoes where it's like, well, I didn't get overtly called a bitch, but I sure didn't get the next promotion.
Right.
I sure didn't get asked to join that reporting team or this thing or whatever. I swear to you, that is exactly what happens. There are ramifications for doing the right thing. So let's stop saying, let's just make women more empowered so they feel brave enough to say something. It's not about empowerment. It's about safety.
Yeah. And I think that this is where I think that men policing men is so important,
mm-hmm.
because of the dynamic that exists. First of all, they're going to give, like, you know, they'll like nod their head if they're hearing it from a woman and say, oh, yeah, sure, whatever, you know. But then they won't change, or they won't, their thinking won't be any different. And I also think, you know, sometimes I kind of got men at the end of the day, in many cases are very, I don't want to say dumb, because that's not, although I consider myself dumb in a lot of ways too. I mean, there's a sort of bullheaded, I can't think of the word, let's put it this way. If I'm gonna deal with a guy who, if I just, you know, if some guy just did something that I found out about, if I'm a supervisor or a coworker or whatever, the response is not going to be, "Hey man, you shouldn't do that." If I want to be effective, the response is going to be, "Dude, what the fuck is wrong with you?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everything short of whacking him on the back of the head and being like, "Come on, what
right.
the fuck? That is not acceptable."
Yeah.
You know, stop that, cut the shit, and mm-hmm. that's it. We're done here, okay? And you know, next time you're out
and then
the
put real consequences on it.
Sure, right, and be like,
and you will be going to sexual harassment class or whatever that all those things are.
Or you're out the door. I mean, you know, but yeah, right.
Yeah, you may go to this class as a courtesy, or you have the kind of workplace where you're like, you did this, said this, whatever, you're done.
Yeah,
there has to be real consequences, because that's the other thing.
Right.
It's like, for some reason, men's careers are valued so much more when they have a spouse and children.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still, I mean, still to this day, there's a narrative for women that, like, what does she need all that money for? She's got a husband. He's a lawyer, or he's a whatever. He's a physician. He's a whatever. You know,
right.
like, he's in some kind of lucrative role. So what does she need that money for? Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That, crazy.
That applies unless the husband is a journalist, in which they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry."
Right.
I hope she's doing well, because he's certainly not.
Like I said, see, men can share their feelings about things all the time. Right.
Yeah, but that, I mean, again, that, it sounds so, that's what, I mean, what I'm saying is it sounds dumb. It sounds dumb that the way, that instead of, the right way to.
It doesn't sound dumb to me. It sounds obvious to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, the right way to correct somebody is to sit down and have like a rational discussion about it and be like, "You know what, that was inappropriate and here's why," and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that I think for most men, until there are other men practically knocking their block off to say that is a shitty, awful thing to do, don't you ever do that again, it's just not going to work. I mean, because it just doesn't.
Well, but more has to shift for that to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Our bodies have to not be public commentary, but
right.
like subject to public commentary. Our bodies have to not be considered public property.
Right.
Our looks should not be the rent we pay to live in the world harmoniously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that need to shift for that. I mean, we talked about this like a few months ago. There was a guy like taking a photo of me. I was turned the other direction. He was like taking a photo of my backside, and mm-hmm. I was not aware of it. But there were men right there, like not stopping him, watching him, looking at him do it.
Yeah.
And when I realized what was happening, I flipped out, and they were all like, "Whoa, bitch." And I was like, "You were taking a photograph of my ass. Why am I the bitch for defending my own body?"
Right, yeah.
And so I think until that shifts, we're – because men have to see it to
yeah.
reprimand. Like, male supervisors have right. to see it in order to reprimand it. And if you don't see it, I mean, the knee-jerk reaction is still going to be like, "Are you sure?"
Yeah. No, it's like a whole shift in the dynamic of, I mean, because it's the dynamic still exists that a bunch of men will see a woman walk by and one will shout something inappropriate and the others will think, "Oh, cool. You know, that dude is so ballsy. Oh, man."
Right.
You know, that dynamic.
And also, has that ever worked?
No, of course not. It's just absolutely ridiculous, which brings us back to the men are pretty dumb thing. But the.
Because shout out to like. Since, like, the beginning of summer, when it first got warm, the very first warm day, I walked out of my apartment, and there was a guy driving down the road, and he stuck his head out of the window, and he screamed, like, "Yo, sit on my face!" And I was like, what do you expect to be the outcome right now? And that has happened repeatedly all summer long. Like, do you really want me to go? Actually, yeah. If you could just come inside, that'd be good. Yeah,
yes.
That'd be great. Let's do this right away. Right away.
Your face looks most sittable. I would too enjoy that very much. So.
Sounds like a really great idea. Let's make that. I consent to that. Like,
yeah,
what is your plan?
At no point has that anything like that ever happened. And
if that has worked, I want to hear from you.
Right.
Actually, I want to hear from both parties, because I would like both people to admit that that happened.
Right. And until somebody, you know, until there's a guy who sees that happen and he goes up to the car and he, you know, like punches the guy in the face and says, "Shut the hell up, dude. What's the matter
right.
with you?" And it just becomes so socially unacceptable
right.
among men that it shifts that thing.
And
so,
not in a macho protective way either.
Right, right.
Not in a like,
no.
"Let me at him. What'd that guy say to you?"
Yeah.
Not that.
No,
not
no,
that.
No. Right. No,
in a
just,
like...
You know,
why did you
right.
say that to that woman?
Right. Are you
insane? And footnote, You do not have to know a woman or have ever spoken to a woman to give a damn about women's safety. If I see another look, I have a daughter and I know. Really?
Yeah.
My dad said that to me one time and I went bananas at him because he was like, I guess I was kind of a dog until you were born. I was like, really? Because you knew mom a decade before that. So that makes you a dick.
I'm not the first woman you've met.
Right. Okay, becoming a parent would be life changing, sure. But also, like, really?
Yeah.
Little 7 pounds of Amy Guth, tiny little baby showed up, and you're like, huh, I've been kind of a misogynist jerk. And I'm like, really? That's what happened? So you do not have to have ever even spoken to a woman to be respectful.
I never respected women until I made one.
Right. And this whole, like, well, as a husband and father and a brother and a son, how about just I'm a person, right, and I recognize that making people feel unsafe is a douchey thing to do.
Right. And again, and it goes beyond. I'm talking about women, men and how they interact with women, but it's also can be men on the internet. I mean, there's plenty of men who are god awful to other men and make their lives miserable and stuff. So, I mean, this should apply across the board, of course. But
I think even our language really supports, like, that men have to make an excuse for why they need to say something in support of women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the culture supports saying, well, but I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I have a daughter.
Right.
Instead of just like, yo, that's a terrible thing to say. Why would you do that? I think we should not speak that way. You have to, like, protect yourself by saying, well, I have a daughter, guys, so I know. Which is crazy.
Trust me.
Trust me, I have a daughter.
As if I could be like, I don't have a daughter, so... Sorry, I'm
so,
out.
Sorry, ladies, on your own.
I'm going to have to tag out on this conversation. I have no idea what I'm talking
Women's
about.
Women's issues are none of my business.
Yes, exactly. I'll let you know. Maybe I'll adopt one. I don't know. But as it stands now, I have no girl.
You almost went Trump on that. Yeah. You really were very Trump on that. Ooh, terrifying. But anyway, there's that.
Yeah.
And then I think, too, we all, men and women, need to recognize... the overt stuff is problematic, but the subtle sexism and sexual harassment is just as bad.
Yeah.
And I mean, that makes you quit jobs. That right. makes you not get a job. That makes a lot of things happen in very quiet ways that you can't reinforce, that you can't be held accountable to. And women do it too. I mean, you cannot, if you see a woman walking down Michigan Avenue, like, and it happens every summer. You walk in and, like, see a woman walk by in some outfit where she's showing a lot of skin. Inevitably, if you watch, there'll be a woman that will make a face at her, mm-hmm. of just like a who does she think she is kind of a look. Her body's none of your business.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm sick of hearing that a skirt length is age appropriate, and I'm sick of hearing that you somehow what you wear determines the respect you get. Like, my body's no one's business. And if I want to not put that many clothes on it because it's 800 degrees outside, that's my business.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't appreciate it from men, but I don't appreciate it from women either. And I think we got to really – I think it is so socialized for women to go, like, slut. As soon as you see a woman with something like low cut or a short dress or something, I think that's so socialized. And we got to not do that either.
You know, I was on the train in today, actually, I was just kind of looking at everybody – and there was one.
Were you high?
Yeah, I was totally.
You said that like a little bit high.
I was totally high, man.
I was just looking at everybody.
I was
like,
thinking, man.
Wow.
People. You know? It's just weird, right? They just are, you know?
You know what I mean?
No, I was stone sober. And But no, I know. Just, you know, because anytime you're on the, it's just like such a, that's one of the great things about living here is it's just such a great mix of people. You know, you just, every train car is just, you know, you name it. And it
a little microcosm of
yeah,
things. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm kind of looking at everybody and I'm like, you know, I was thinking about the Me Too stuff and because I just finished a column and posted it and everything. And I was like looking at all these different guys and wondering how they think and, you know, women and what they deal with. And I'm like, you know, everybody's just kind of, we're all sort of messed up. I mean, we're all just trying to slog along, and everybody's got their problems and their different crap that they're dealing with. And, you know, it's just, if why can we not, like, kind of get that it's hard just existing and be a little more like empathetic and understanding of each other in general. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just, it was very, it frustrates me so much because so much of this stuff, this is not difficult at the end of the day. I mean, being nice theoretically is not a hard thing to do. It's the easiest thing to do. And yet we don't. And so much of it is because of this, you know, lack of our, you know, everything in our little world is, you know, consumes us, and everything in the person over there's little world consumes them. And it just gets so hard. And it just, I don't know, it frustrates me because I just feel like we could do so much more, and it could be so much easier if people could just take that kind of one quick little step back and treat each other not as, you know, man, woman, whatever, but just as other person who, you know, is carrying his or her bag of shit around, and you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe yeah. I was high. I'm not sure.
I was just saying, you sure you weren't a little
I
bit high?
I may not have been high, but apparently I should have been.
A little bit high.
Yes.
Kind of high.
Anyway, then
I
took out my ukulele and I started playing. As I do.
As you do. No, I'm with you. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot in the last couple of weeks myself. I think we just need to get over ourselves deeply.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that we get really trapped in our own little world, and it's a million little things make petty things feel monumental.
Mm-hmm.
And every time there's a big crisis or big thing, we say, I hate the phrase never forget, because you're lying.
Yeah, right.
You're going to forget. Yes. And you're going to go back to thinking petty things are monumental.
Yeah.
And shame on you for that.
Yeah.
Shame on all of us, because we all do that.
Yeah.
I think it
hashtag
is.
Hashtag never, never forget.
Right. Hashtag meta. I think we're lying to ourselves, because you only get to say that is if you then make a profound change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a radical perspective shift and you come back and say, you know, these things I do don't make sense anymore, or this thing, you know, whatever it is, if you have a crisis, or and crisis is relative. I mean, that could be the death of a family member. That could be a major illness. That could be anything. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows? And whatever that thing is that causes your perspective shift. I mean, I'm not saying I want bad things to happen to people, but sometimes I think we are so wrapped up in pettiness and fear that we cannot relate to other human beings.
I think you're right. And to bring this back quickly to politics, I think that's almost the heart of what Trump is doing to us all, because he embodies pettiness and lack of concern for, you know, wrapped up in himself. I mean, all of the things that you just said, in a lot of ways, he kind of embodies that. And I think that is, we are getting just clobbered every day relentlessly with that. And that isn't making it any easier for us to try to improve our own ways of thinking. Because, you know,
right.
We'll spend part of our day wrapped up in his pettiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and, you know, he's the president, so it matters. But I mean, I just feel like we're on this really messed up cycle right now, and it's impeding our progress. It's keeping us from becoming better people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of across the board. Because
I think it's actually quite oppressive, and it's keeping us in you know, low vibe and very petty places.
Right.
In
yeah.
our own lives.
We're in just we're in a cycle of just idiocy and resentment and sort of, you know, needless outrage and stuff.
And some very justified outrage.
Right, right.
But
I mean,
nonetheless.
I mean his outrage is
his,
needless,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but
I mean, here's a perfect, I've been thinking about this one lately. Twice a year, I go through everything in my closet, and I, you know, if I haven't worn it, I give it to someone I know that, like, you know what, this dress would be great on her.
Me.
I know. If you could just give me that one purple dress back, I kind of need it. And I, you know, I donate things and whatever. And but I also, I aim for minimalism in my life. And I try to not have very many things, because then that's just more crap to deal with. But I, you know, I go through my stuff and, like, cycle things out. And up until a couple of weeks ago, I had, I would get, you know, alerts on my phone for everything Trump did or tweeted. And the last time I was going to clean out my closet and go through my stuff, I got interrupted by one of his tweets, and I don't even remember at this point what it was, but it's something that ended up being kind of a big deal. I think we talked about it, whatever. And then I had not gone back to finish that job because I was still in that. And that is literally getting, you know, here I'm not saying I was cleaning out my closet to do a good deed, but it's just something I regularly do, both to care for myself so I don't have too much clutter in my life, but also to, you know, give those clothes another home or give them to someone who'd want them more. That I was literally stopped from doing this thing to care for both myself and others to some extent by a petty thing done by the president.
Yeah, he is keeping us from uncluttering our lives.
He is keeping us from greatness, Hupke. That is what it is. I have not turned those alerts back on.
That's good.
It's a little weird, but it's quite liberating.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, there's only so much we can do.
I've had them on since the campaign trail.
Yeah.
It's weird. The first 48 hours, I was like, this is awesome. And then I don't know, which is, you know, I feel, well, I was thinking about it because at first I felt very irresponsible about it. I was like, it's my job to stay abreast of these things. But then I was like, yes, but there are many other reporting tools. There are many ways to find out.
Yeah, right. You don't need it to bing every, you know.
I'm free to every other day just look at his Twitter feed and see what he has said. I'm free to do that.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I think, especially for people who follow politics, even tangentially, I think, like to get a sense of the impact he's having on all of us and on the country, imagine if it just stopped. Imagine if he was impeached, gone, boom, that's it, and he didn't have a Twitter account anymore. Like what a change that would be. To not have, because every morning, that's like one of the first things I do. I get up, I, you know, start doing stuff, and then I kind of pop on Twitter real quick to see what kind of inanity he's been spouting. So that's pretty, I mean, that would be a fundamental change, because it's already been, like you said, it's been through the campaign, so we're talking about a year, almost 2 years of that, you know. And that's part of the reality show element of this, I think, too, is that we're all kind of hooked, for better or for worse, and so... I think there would be like some kind of withdrawal almost of for people like us who, you know, who are really tied into it.
Well, you got to replace the habit with something else.
Yes.
Like if you, like when people quit smoking, they start knitting. Yeah. You got to do that.
Right. I'm going to start smoking and riding the train and then talking about it.
Check.
Hey.
Well, it is time for us to sign off.
Oh, rats.
We've run out of time already. I know. I feel like we need like a 7-hour show to catch up on all the things.
To make up for it. It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. We're sorry that we abandoned you. Yeah. Many things called, but we're back, and it's all good, and we will continue. We'll continue sharing outrage with you in many different ways. So until next time, this has been Guth and Hupke on Politics.